AEW started, they were all over the place. And now it's like,
they got the win over the Young Bucks in the initial tournament.
Yeah, yes, opening round, all that stuff.
Yeah, I am lost on what happened with them, because I even found them quite amusing on Being the Elite, because I feel like, were they wrestling a bunny rabbit in the backyard or something crazy like that?
They were doing all sorts of, like, acid trip shit, it seemed like. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
remember they were trying to fight Hangman as well?
I think so. That stuff was hilarious, though. Like, I feel like, it's one of the few things I have caught on Being the Elite to know that they have some personality, but they've still had about zero time on the main show to have personality. Like, they've gotten to show a little bit with Matt Hardy, but still not enough to get yourself over.
That whole, like, they're getting, he gets 80% or whatever their contract, like, that went nowhere?
Uh-oh.
That was, the big thing. Like, oh, okay, and then nothing. It's very weird.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't really wrestled that many tag team matches. I think you were saying before I did hit record that they've wrestled a lot on Dark.
Yeah, they're on Dark every week. Which I guess, is better than not being on any TV show. But, I don't know, it just seemed like they were destined to be, I know it's going to sound stupid, but they were going to be the face of the tag team division. Outside of the Young Bucks, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I'm trying to think of what feuds were they in. I'm just drawing a blank.
And nothing terribly important if they did.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
For having an emphasis on tag team wrestling, they haven't done a good job with the tag team wrestling. In general. I'm not saying that there haven't been enjoyable matches, but I'm not going, I even think, the last kind of fun run with New Day and the Usos, and I'm trying to think of who else. Were Rude and Ziggler around at that point?
Cesaro and
Sheamus. Oh, yeah. Okay, that was the team. I kind of remember an extended time period of enjoying tag team matches, in the WWE fairly recently. And again, I know that there have been good tag team matches, but I don't remember, a series of matches being great. I liked FTR. Well, I mean, FTR and Pride and Powerful, or Proud and Powerful. Okay, yeah. Obviously, that did not end the way anyone wanted it to.
Dude, I couldn't believe what I saw last week.
Oh, when they showed the replay of that?
I mean, that's horror movie stuff.
Yeah.
And that was real life. Holy shit. I don't know if, that talk about him coming back was for real or not. If he's going to be able to come back or not. But after saying that, I'm like, yeah, that looks like something you can't come back from. Especially, where it happened, on the just on the forearm, wrist, and bleeding out. Oh, my God.
We were
wondering, when we were there, why they were cleaning the floor. Because I'm like, it's sweat. Who cares? And I see that last week, and went, oh, shit. That was vile.
You didn't see that. I didn't remember seeing that much, because I think by the time they went to that camera angle, I think he had at least had something on it so that you didn't really see it.
Yeah.
But it did remind me recently when I was in Vegas. My father-in-law had an unfortunate accident and we were at the ER waiting for him, and this dude came in that had accidentally stabbed himself with a chef's knife.
Oh, I've got the tingles, dude.
It was, like, the guy had a full, like, you know, like, bathroom towel on his hand, and there was still blood coming out. It was nasty. And that's what his kind of injury just, like, you just saw how quick that was coming out. Because, yeah, I don't remember seeing that part in the initial, you know, when it happened. But I did remember kind of seeing them all huddled around him and him holding his forearm with something on it and it getting red. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and then when they were running him to the back, we were all confused in the crowd.
I can understand why.
Yeah, because it ends with a simple brain buster, and all of a sudden they're just running to the back. Like, what the hell just happened? Like, no acknowledgement and any of that stuff. But, yeah, the other thing, to go back to Private Party real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seems silly to say this, but, like, the Top Flight?
Yes.
Did they take their place? I mean, I know one of the kids in Top Flight got hurt, but was it like, we only have room for one up-and-coming tag team, and we're going to go with these guys instead?
But they had pretty much the whole pandemic to change that?
Yeah.
You know, like, because it was an ACL injury, and I mean, even on a good side of an ACL at this point, you're still looking at 6 months and usually closer to 9. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're running 18 months, I would think that they would have had a chance sometime in between there to push Private Party.
Yeah, and it's like, even, like, just what sense the show's on right now, like, was it the Hybrid 2? Jack Evans and Helico, who Angelico just cracks me up. So, just always dancing to the same stupid, no matter what the music is, he just dances the same. Just kind of cracks me up. But, before this match is over, we're recording this while AEW's walk. That will happen to the Butcher.
Oh, I don't know what happened to him.
Did they ever explain? Like, I know he's probably back with the band, you know, since he kind of writes the songs and stuff, but it's just strange. He just disappears, and now he's got the blade running around.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to guess Every Time I Die is making a new album.
Well, I know they're touring.
Oh, they're touring.
I'm pretty sure they're touring. Or getting ready to.
Gotcha.
But so I'm guessing that's why. So, but it'd be like, it would have been nice to have some sort of blow off or something. So, unless he got hurt too. Who the hell knows? So, but AEW does a good job of telling different wrestlers hurt. Like, they don't dwell on it, but they at least acknowledge, like, hey, here's you know, Trent's going to be out because he's had next
surgery or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be super in-depth, but it does at least help your audience go, oh, okay. Like, I think that's an appropriate amount of deal to make out of it. Just announce it like it's a football injury and go from there.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when you release a guy in the middle of a feud. You know, come up with something. Did you get a chance to talk about any, like, the Bronson Reed and all that stuff?
Well, we didn't really break down all of them, Chris and I, just because, he was at least of the opinion that there'd probably been enough breaking down since, when did that happen, Friday of last week?
Was it Friday or Saturday? No, it was Friday, because they actually told the guys at SmackDown. Like, if they were around, they told them. Like, what? Why would you do that? But, I mean, not that there's ever a good way or a good time to fire somebody, but...
I mean, making them fly to work when they probably didn't need to. is kind of dicky. You can at least give them the phone call the night before. Like, you didn't make up your mind Friday morning, I'm going to assume.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they always say you get rid of people on a weekend. Or a Thursday. See, a Thursday. Our company always does it Thursdays. And the reason I say it is because that's when it always happens.
Oh.
It's an unfortunate common thing. But, like WWE, I've always complained about that. People just disappear. Like, Randy Orton was gone for, what do you say, 7 weeks? Or something like that? He just disappeared. They never, they kind of made a joke of it with Matt Riddle. I'm sorry, Riddle. Talking about how this is for you, Randy. But they never explain, what happened. Like, you're in the middle of something, and your guy just disappears. And by the way, this is Randy Orton we're talking about.
Oh.
You know, no offense to Bronson Reed, but, I guess that's kind of different. Bigger a name in NXT, but it's like Jackson Ryker, who, by the way, was he on Raw this week?
No.
Okay, that makes sense too. Anyways, it's not like Jackson Ryker just disappearing for 6 weeks and then coming back. You know what I mean? That's a total different thing.
Yeah, when one of your highest profile guys who is in the middle of a feud just up and leaves, it's pretty weird.
But they've always done that.
Oh, yeah. I don't expect them to change.
Yeah, and I get, at this point, WWE changing. Which actually, they are changing, but it honestly seems for the worst. But whatever. They're still making their money, so they can just. Who cares? They can just put dancing piles of shit on TV for 3 hours, and they're still going to make whatever their TV deal money is. So it doesn't matter. Outside of the sponsorship deal, which I believe. Any advertising is through USA, and they get a portion of that. So, but no, to credit AEW, they at least tell you what's going on.
Oh,
they don't dwell on it. WWE person just disappears, like Bray Wyatt. Even after WrestleMania,
he lost.
They should have been. Where is Bray Wyatt? Every time Alexa Bliss is on, they should have been bringing it up. All right, can you believe what happened? And then, where is she? God damn, they show this fucking injury again. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I still have a slow feed, so... I get to look forward to that.
Just nasty. Anyways. And any of this stuff. Remember when Braun Strowman got pulled down to the depths of whatever lake or whatever they were at, right?
Oh, yeah, the swamp.
He just disappears and then comes back. All right, I'm back. Where the hell you been? So, just all that sort of stuff just drives me crazy. I guess from... Yeah, exactly. I haven't written in a while, so I can't call myself a writer anymore. But I kind of figured out why it's such a problem with all this stuff, because this is basic stuff. But then again, when you're talking about WWE outside of NXT, SmackDown to a certain extent, WWE doesn't, we all know, they don't write for long term anyways. That's painfully obvious. So,
just for very few people. The main event scene gets some long term booking, and even with that, currently I'd say only Roman Reigns is the one getting long term booking. They might have had some stuff in mind for Lashley. I mean, I do feel like there have at least been some rumors that Goldberg was the backup to Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam. And they could not entice Mr. Lesnar out of whatever hole he happens to be in currently. So, yeah, long-term booking is definitely not a strong suit for the WWE. Yeah, it's really a main event thing, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, even in, a short-term thing, short-term writing is easy. Say you're going to write something for a month. You just need something from this show to the pay-per-view. They can't even... Roman Reigns, of course, because that's a golden point. no way around it. Yet. Edge, has a hand in what he's writing. So, like, he has his own ideas, so that's why him and Seth are getting all this stuff. But then I'm trying to figure out what else is on SmackDown right now. You know what I mean? Like, Big E's got the briefcase. All right, cool.
Yeah, and he just got to act creepy with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Not the greatest thing, but it's something.
Yeah. But no, it's like they used to write for months at a time. Like, here's this, all of these beats and all this, and, you know, I don't know. We talked about it before. I don't think Vince is with it. And I don't mean like in a metal, well, I do mean mentally, but it's a guy that does too much. And yes, at his age, definitely too much. To be able to control a writing staff, or control his own, not opinion, his own self-interest. He gets bored with people, he lets stuff go, and that's enough. I mean, they just brought back, classic example, Aleister Black comes back, kicks Big E, and then they release him. And it's something that they, So, like, even Bronson, like, this is one, now listen, he wasn't going to set the world on fire, I'm not stupid, right? He was good, he probably would have been a pretty good guy in the middle of the card. But they just had this giant thing where he went to the North American title. Was that his wife that came in the ring?
Yeah.
To celebrate with him?
Yeah.
And then he loses it out of the blue. He says, I'm sorry I let you down. I'm never going to do that again. And you're released. Like, wait. What?
Yeah.
You know, I know, like, it's all Vince's call to get rid of people. He doesn't give a shit about NXT. I mean, that's clear as day. Just by how everyone gets used. But it's like, damn, man.
Yeah, that one was pretty odd. Like, that's one when I saw the report that they're like, oh, Triple H didn't have a say in these NXT. You know, it was pretty obvious that Triple H did not have any say whatsoever in those cuts. Because like you said, like, Bronson Reed would not have been getting the push that he was getting if Triple H was planning on letting him, or at least I don't think he would. You know, no. I feel like at least at this point, Triple H is not as short-sighted as Vince. Like you said, like he could definitely fill a role, and he's a fresh face and a fresh look. I do know that he's a little bit older, but again, like he has that much experience, he didn't really need to spend time in NXT.
And can we stop this bullshit about how they're older? So, I keep hearing this. Now, obviously, I'm older than these guys, all right? But if you don't have mileage on you, like some of these guys don't, because they aren't running a WWE schedule, running themselves down, then the age, I mean, obviously, you're going to slow down a little bit, but you're not going to be as beat up as somebody who's running a WWE schedule. So the idea that someone who's 30 is going to be a better or suitable replacement for someone who happens to be 35 or 36, that's asinine. Because we've already seen, there's no more John Cena's. Like, there's no more Randy Orton's coming down that pipe. There's just not. Because wrestling is a stepping stone now to go do other things. Whether it's, you know, go to AEW, somewhere else, try and get a movie, gigs, whatever else. There aren't a lot of lifers in WWE at all. I mean, Randy Orton did some WWE movies. That's it.
Yeah, he's a lifer.
Yeah. So, that's it. Like, there's no more Randys. There's no more John Cena's. Taker's long gone. Where, like, those are, like, the three that had the longest longevity. R-Truth, but, you know. he hasn't been taken seriously in years, so that's like, you know, a job, whatever. But
yeah, good for him for collecting a paycheck. But hell, that he it's not. Yeah, you're not getting Randy Orton level of exposure.
No, and but I can't see anybody else being that person. There's no 20-year guys coming down that pipe. There's no 16-year guys coming down.
Well, and that's where at least part of it I can kind of agree with, but in and of the fact that I guess I wouldn't mind if the WWE could find that. Like, I don't understand why they haven't been able to find that. You know what I'm... you know, if developmental is as good as it's supposed to be, like, why hasn't there been a younger... You know, like, the women have been younger. And I think we've kind of made that point pretty clear. But the guys still, like, I don't understand why it takes someone until, like, 25 to be a good wrestler. Like, that shouldn't be the case. Like, I understand that there's more psychology in there. But, I mean, I just call shenanigans on that. Like, if someone can excel in any, you know, list the major sport at the age of 18, yeah. I don't understand why they couldn't do it on in the WWE. You know, like, there are actors that are that young. Like, the WWE shouldn't, you know... It shouldn't be so complicated that you need to be 25 to get it.
Yeah, well, you have to learn the WWE system, learn the cameras, learn this. It's not. It's like it's not even just learning how to learning to wrestle. It's you have to learn all these other things that they tell you is what wrestling is, or sports entertainment, I guess is what they would say. But yeah, that's why the developmental. There's always been the argument that developmental's not good for WWE because they don't learn. They only learn one thing and not, you know, not how to think on your feet because if you start, I don't know if you've read, if you listen to any podcast for some people who are released, especially 2.0 or Everbright, or I'm sorry.
Everrise. Everbright. Lightbright?
Yeah, well, no, I mixed up that and Eventbrite. But
M Night?
But no, so it's like, all right, so you got somebody else that comes up to you and has written out your 5-minute match. So you don't even get a chance to do anything. Well, you don't learn anything that way. I mean, I don't know.
Oh. You can, but I also think that there's a limit to what you can learn in that situation, too. And I don't know, did they have... I guess I'm not sure. Did they have any indie experience? I'm assuming yes.
Who, 2.0?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's why they were considered older, because they're in their mid-30s.
Oh.
And it's like, okay. No, I think Killian Dane, he's only 30 years old, I think. And they let him go. Alexander Wolf, another guy. I say, I'm guessing at these... I'm trying to grasp at what they were never did. But no, like, the whole thing, they're trying to get younger, they're trying to get bigger. And it's like, then you don't have your pulse on... One, you don't have your pulse on what wrestling fans want.
Oh.
And then two, they will say, you're right, we don't. We have our pulse on the entertainment industry. And I would go, no, you don't. Look at your incredibly faltering ratings. You do not. So, just, it's, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out how to describe how WWE is. It's like the kids whose shoes are on fire. And you're like, hey, you need to put your shoes on. Like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay. And you just keep doing it. It's a bad analogy, but it's only thing I can think of. Yeah, just
Yeah, and I mean, I think maybe Chris and I have talked about it, but AEW just may never catch up simply because the WWE's just been around longer.
Right.
You know, like, AEW becoming a household name might happen a little bit quicker because of things, but also, you know, part of the declining audience is definitely on the WWE, in a decent chunk of it, honestly. But yeah, well, where was I going with that?
Not sure.
Just the diversity of options is just hurting everyone in a general sense. Because, and I mean, I know that we've talked about it before, but sometimes still with all the ratings talk, like, I don't know if people expect it to go back up to like fours or something like that. I'm like,
yeah.
A primetime show on ABC or whatever is barely pulling that currently. You know, yeah, like, yeah. The NFL is still the only thing almost essentially pulling double digits.
And isn't network TV considered different anyways? Like, they go by a different rating system or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought cable did it separately than network TV. I could be wrong, though, but I thought that's how it used to be. Well, yeah. AEW is not on the lips of anybody. Outside of their fan base. Let's be honest here. But the thing is, there seems to be getting more and more of those, like, those lips, because their ratings are going up. Where Raw's ratings are declining. SmackDown seems to hold tight. And NXT kind of hovers around the same thing here and there.
Oh, right.
But it's distinctly Raw, which used to be the flagship. But SmackDown gets higher ratings.
And there still is something. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum over the years. But that, and I mean, I even think we've talked about it recently. The 3-hour format's tough.
It's just terrible. It's still terrible.
You know, SmackDown, like, all the rest of these 2-hour shows seem to kind of move by in comparison. You know, there was some entertaining stuff on Raw, but when you got 3 hours of it and maybe a half hour was entertaining, that's not good.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with Raw, we said this 1,000 times, so sorry, but it's the same people. Like, they even introduced Karrion Kross into the mix, and they've just made him somebody else.
No.
Like, a brand new guy who you should be, you know, treating as something special. Just whenever you introduce someone, they're supposed to be special. And they're just like, here's a guy, he loses immediately, then loses again to Keith Lee last week, and then fights Jeff Hardy this week and wins. And it's like, what's the point? There's no point to any of this because you don't write them correctly. And
well, and he wasn't written correctly in NXT either.
Karrion Kross?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a vampire or a Spartan or suit wearing guy.
I'm with you.
Or a gym guy. Like, he has not been written. Like, I don't care what character they want to roll with. But this mishmash of, I think Chris described it as like everything that is Triple H's wet dream into one package. And it's just like, well, they're all disparate parts. Like, it doesn't help him at all. Like, his character is really non-existent. Like, Corey Graves keeps on talking about, you know, falling and praying. But I'm like, what does that mean? Like, that does not have such widespread meaning that I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, when the Street Profits say we want to smoke, it's just like, oh, okay, I got it, understand. Why am I supposed to be worried about falling and praying?
See, they try to avoid any of anything religious, right? But as soon as you bring up the fall and pray, that kind of brings in religion.
Yeah.
Tell them to pray, right? So that's why they don't answer. It's like, you better be praying. You better fall on your knees and pray that you survive. You better fall on your knees and pray I don't break your legs. I don't know, just something, you know?
Yeah.
They can't even go that simple. Like, it should be that fall and pray because of how intimidating and how scary he is.
Yeah, like, if he talked about people cowering before him, even a promo like that would kind of lead you in that direction, but they neither NXT nor the main roster have gone that route.
Yeah. No, NXT, I agree with you. Like, NXT, he was all over. Because even Scarlett was like some, what? Not taboo. Tarot card reading. Witchy girl?
Yes.
And then was she a sorceress? Or was she there? Like, what was her purpose other than being a pretty integral part of his entrance? She didn't really do anything at ringside. She didn't distract. She didn't do anything.
Oh, nope. Yes.
She was just there to, like, accentuate. God damn, I'm in trouble. To accentuate everything. So, like, you strip that away, and it's like, well, what, like, is she next? Is she next? Because his thing was always, they are a package. Oh, God. Whatever. But it's like, he stated they are a package deal.
Oh.
And he's already shown he will leave. We'll stop working for a company. So, you know, but in the case of Karrion Kross, he comes up to WWE, and just to further my point, NXT, he had a badass entrance.
Oh.
Filmed correctly, you know, Scarlett does her thing, adds to it, you know, the lip sync is kind of goofy, but whatever.
Right.
And what happens? He just walks out of the ring now. And does the chest beating thing. That's all he does.
Yeah. I was laughing that they kind of did the wide shot of his entrance. Like, it was going to be something impressive. And you needed, like, that full, like, from the top of the arena look at it. And then it's just him walking out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, like, one of those cool, like... Naomi, like, when she comes out by herself, like, I always love the graphics and it, you know, like, that whole presentation would have worked out well to have that camera angle. Some guy just walking out. Sorry, guys, that not a good look.
Yeah. Oh. I got totally distracted by this AEW thing. Like, I'm telling you what, man. Just abruptly switch the subject real quick. I'm glad I've not gotten these last 2 weeks at AEW when I win.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, anyone would be happy that they didn't get QT Marshall on their show.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways.
Especially since he's wearing one of my bowling shirts.
Yeah, but it's like... Wait, is Big Show, or I'm sorry, is Paul White going to do one of his 425, you know, separate heel face changes? Oh, no, I guess not. But, what else? But that's like that with everybody. Like, Matt Riddle comes up, they've made him a giant doofus, which kind of works.
No, it did not work until, because this stuff with Randy Orton has been super entertaining. Yep. And him being a beaten puppy dog this week was cracking my shit up. That was part of the entertaining part of Raw. They tweaked the personality for him to be not such a dumbass.
Yes.
and that has really helped out a lot. You know, yeah, that original call-up gimmick was just, he was too stoner, too dumb, too everything. Like, it was not necessary, like, what they did to him.
Yeah. Yeah. But, all right, so in his case, then they got rid of his first name, which, sorry, that's still annoying. It's stupid. And then
Keith
Lee comes up, get rid of his theme music, which was a big part of it, and just have him do stuff. Like, okay. Do we even want to bring up Dijakovic?
Sure. Like, we didn't really, Chris and I didn't talk about him. And even Mace, like, I'm not sure why Dio Madden gets introduced to us as an announcer when he's, like, oh, a good foot taller than every other announcer. And then goes back to the wrestling end of things, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have enough to evaluate him as a wrestler. He has zero personality, and I don't know why Dijakovic is stuck with him.
Because they have, he sees two big guys, like, oh, they've wanted to make their own Road Warriors forever. Demolition was close, and then that's been it.
It is not good when your closest comparison is Demolition.
Yeah. They even got the Powers of Pain and did nothing with it. I mean, they're like, all right, we got nothing, split them up. But no, it's like everybody from NXT comes up. Like, Balor, all right. He came up and made an impact way back. The Wyatt family did. But then it was like, all right, never mind. Look what happened with Shinsuke.
Part of that could be placed on him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's one of the few that I'm like, okay, I got, like, I feel like he's done a lot better job of feeling invested recently. But I will say that there was definitely a time period there where it truly looked like he was more interested in surfing than professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And hey, you know, if you can collect a paycheck and do that, God bless. But again, to me, his was at least a little bit on him. I mean, I do like when people stretch it back to include, like, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in NXT. And I just, they're a little too far back.
Yeah, because they were part of Florida first.
Yeah.
NXT, then they came up, so.
Yeah. So those ones to me don't completely count. But they also, like, it was pretty wild how many guys that they had coming through that were essentially like Finn Balor, who was a fully baked thing at that point. Like, how many years had he been in New Japan at that juncture? And that wasn't even all of his wrestling career.
Yeah.
So they did have a lot of guys down there, like him and Nakamura, Kevin Owens. And I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that, one of the few guys that, now that I'm thinking about it, that they haven't screwed up has been Damian Priest.
In a way, yeah. I mean, they shot him, like, the Bad Bunny stuff was weird, but then you're like, oh, okay, I get this, because the Bad Bunny stuff came off way better than I think any of us thought.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get hurt from it. But, I mean, he was losing his little chintzy matches with Miz here and there. But, and it's funny to bring him up, because this week, Sheamus was exactly right. Sheamus wins his match, he's celebrating, and damn, Damian Priest interrupts. And Sheamus is like, how dare you? Like, this has nothing to do with you. And he was right. So it's weird to just, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was, A, I want the feud, B, it was a weird transition.
Yeah.
You know, like, we just find out that The Miz is miraculously cured of his knee injury. So, you know, after feuding with John Morrison for the past 12 months, It seems like the next logical thing would be a Miz versus Damian Priest match, but I think that's what bothered me more. Like, I think that a Sheamus Damian Priest feud makes a lot of sense, but getting there the way that they have has been weird.
Yeah.
Well, not weird, like just dumb.
Yeah, well, Sheamus' broken nose didn't help matters too, but he's also in a feud with Ricochet and Alberto Carrillo. But as much as you can be with those two.
You know, oh.
Unfortunately for Ricochet. But
yeah. That did not help the situation that he's been in a 2-month feud with those guys, kind of fighting them on and off. So why isn't it like both of them at the same time? Or, you know, Ricochet lost again. So, I mean, neither of those two guys have a leg to stand on at this point.
No. And they barely did before.
And I guess Ricochet is kind of one of those almost good, great examples. I don't know if he's on the younger side at this point, but if the WWE really wanted to capitalize someone on the younger side, like, he seems to be the guy. His promos were pretty terrible, though. So that's another one. I don't completely blame WWE for his failures, but in ring, like, just let him do his thing in the ring, man. Like, that's if you think you're gonna get 33 million views off of Reggie's ring entrance, just let Ricochet rip, and you're gonna probably get something on TikTok for that too that gets more views.
I guess, I don't know. I try doing TikTok, and I'm like, this is stupid. A bunch of people that I don't care about doing things I don't care about. Like, if I saw Reggie's entrance, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll just walk, like, move on. Like, especially after watching, like, the Olympics and that, but...
Well, the one thing I just thought, I'm like, oh, he's doing the Sin Cara entrance, except he's doing... a side cartwheel instead of doing just a flip into the ring.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. His looks a little more spectacular, to be honest.
Yeah. When you just do a roll through, it doesn't look quite as crazy. So, yeah, I'm with you.
The first time Sin Cara did that, though, we were like, what the hell was that? Like, oh.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I'm trying to think of who else that's... because it is kind of crazy how many people from NXT are on the roster, but have been bungled so bad they're just not going anywhere.
Oh, I mean, they blew with Aleister Black.
Well, and I mean...
when Aleister Ricochet came up, it was like, all right, here we go. Then they split him up, Aleister Black didn't show up for a few weeks? Or was it Buddy Murphy didn't show up? Can't remember which one it was exactly.
I can't remember. I do think that he was... which one were we just talking about?
It was Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah, I think Black had a couple of weeks off TV, and Ricochet kept going. But then... Black did kind of get himself some promos and things of that nature to start going into his character. So that wasn't a complete drop of the ball, but it was kind of weird that he had like 2 or 3 consecutive weeks off, like right after being introduced. And then I think, were they split up in the draft?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it worked.
Yeah, but that doesn't do anything for either guy's career. If you start them off as something of a tag team that people are A, first offended by, and then B, are like, holy shit, this could be a really fun team. The tag team division needs something like this. Nah, we're going to split them up. Man, yeah.
No one's allowed to be flashy. Everyone has to follow a formula. And that just makes it stale. And I don't know if you've noticed, they're using audio sweeteners on a live crowd. I mean, that's how dull their product is. These crowds should be straight fire for these guys because they haven't seen them in over a year. And women, guys and gals. And they're not.
Well, they
That's
are just not the way that the WWE wants them to be.
I don't I get I agree with that, but there's a lot of sitting on your hands already. Like, holy shit. And what do they do? Well, we're gonna, you know, show you. Well, you're supposed to be cheering like this. Like, what? And then the Alexa Bliss stuff, the crowd start chanting, "We want Wyatt," so they turn the crowd down and put the auto sweetener up. I mean, there's nothing. I just like I complain about it in NXT, so I'm consistent. But the manipulation by this company is just bizarre to me. Like, nothing on their show can be genuine. Nothing. All
Oh.
the wrestlers talk like bad 80s sci-fi stuff. Hey, no one acts like a natural normal human being would. And I know they're superstars, but no. Look back in the old days. In the old days, I guess you go back to the 90s. Hell, go to the early 2000s. People didn't talk this like rigid, stupid garbage. I mean, except for, I mean, now obviously some did, like Kane and Undertaker, but you know, come on. But Wardlow's not good, dude. I don't know if you're watching this train wreck so far.
It's the press slam. Oof, I mean, I know that I've made fun of Jericho a little bit recently for letting himself go. But don't do a press slam if you can't get someone even Chris Jericho's size
Yeah,
up.
well, wait till you see what happens in the ring next. But no, man, it's.
Oh,
I mean,
jeez.
yeah, I mean, love it or hate it, AEW, at least that crowd is into it, and they're genuine. Like,
Oh.
even Impact, small Impact crowd, they're cheering for their own stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But WWE has to manipulate everything. Everything. Even the announcers can't just speak like regular human beings. The idea that people accept that they call it the WWE Universe is ridiculous. It's the
Why
fans.
is that ridiculous?
It just drives me nuts. It sounds so fake,
Oh, just
and it's a clear marketing tool. Like, it's not even a creative way of working it in.
I
You
guess
know?
I don't mind that just because, I mean, what did they call all the Walking Dead fans? I mean, like,
Walking Dead fans.
no, there was something
Yeah.
else.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. Or if there is something, I missed
There's
it.
a name for everything online now. Whatever group you're into, I guess, is going to be my main point. Of course, I'm going to be terrible and not remember any groups currently.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of something. Like, all right, so
Yeah,
if
'cause all like e everyone suits would call everyone suitors. All their fans, like and I don't know if it's just a US, it's not just a USA thing. I know that it's on other things because I know that like the wife has gotten into those reality TV shows and it's Bachelorette Nation. Like that's what they call it. Like that's just a different word for universe. Like I know that universe is larger and all that other. Don't get into physics level on me about it, kind of a situation. But you know, it's
Okay, all right. So, what? All right.
yeah. And I feel
So,
like they did stuff like that for like What is that I applied for that I long ass time ago? Survivor. Like, I feel like there's a fan group for that too. Like, I think that every fan group kind of goes by some type of moniker if they.
Okay, but that's usually the fans give themselves that name. And also, like, if you, all right, you're watching a baseball game. Say you're watching the Pirates and Reds.
Yeah.
Right? Third baseman goes over, dives into the Pirates universe to grab the foul ball. You would go, what the fuck did he just say? It wouldn't be like, oh, he just jumped into the crowd. He jumped into the fans to get the ball. Because that's genuine. That's real. That's like, that's actual real world stuff. But to say, like, when a wrestler goes over the guardrail, oh, he's in the WWE universe. Like, no, he's not. He's in the fucking crowd. Like, just call it what it is. Now, if you want to call your fan base, like, the WWE universe, I don't really have that problem. Like, it's an overall idea. But when it's, like, you're jumping to the crowd or something, or it's like, oh, the WWE universe is here in attendance, like, I guess that one doesn't sound too bad now I say it out loud like that, but you know what I mean? It just seems
no,
like
it does not bother me at the level that it bothers you. It,
well,
like
I hate all this marketing bullshit too.
It just glazes over me, honestly. And I guess I'd be fine. Like if they called it both things or something like that, you know, sometimes said fans and sometimes said universe, I'd be fine with that. But I mean, you're right. Like, unfortunately, everyone gets a little too rigid with just using the same terminology all the time, and I don't think that does them any favors.
Like, the first time I ever heard the term universe was the DC universe. That's what they used to call in the back of the comics.
Oh. I'm
talking to DC universe. Like, well, yeah, because it's, you know, comics, of course. But, I don't know. All this marketing terms and whatever else, and I know it's funny because one of our friends does that for a living. It just drives me crazy. It's like everything has to have a catchphrase. Like even our neighborhood, they call it Lower South End.
Oh.
Why? Like, why? And they're like, well, that's not good enough. So they start calling it Loso. Literally no one voted for this stuff. It's just everything has to have this like kitschy thing. And I'm like, yeah, I just live over here.
Yeah, that the South Park where they made fun of that was was hilarious. I was falling over laughing about the whole thing. Oh man!
Yeah, but it's just like stuff like that, like I was saying earlier when like they built those new awful apartments and called it the Artistry. And I was like, okay, but.
The names to some of these complexes kill me these days. Like, I'm like, no one sits there and thinks to themselves, oh, yeah, I'm in the lap of luxury now. I'm in the Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, I don't think that anyone that's there has any delusions either, honestly.
No.
You know, like, I guess that's why, like, it's been the WWE universe for so long that I've just, it's one of those things that I'm, like, almost completely numb to it. You know,
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's just there. Now.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I've never gotten used to blatant. I'm trying to figure out how to describe it, but just like it's not natural. But all right, what are the Columbus Crew fans call themselves? Do they have a name?
No, I mean, there are a bunch of different supporters groups that have different names.
Okay.
Like, there's the Hudson Street Hooligans is one of them. And I'm trying to think of some of the other ones because that's kind of the biggest one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what some of the other groups are. But, I mean, to your point that you keep on going to, they named themselves.
Yeah, it's not like a company going, ooh, this is what we're going to do so we can make all the money off of this and these dummies will buy it. Like,
well, they do that by changing the logo every 3 months.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't change the name to the Guardians.
Well,
you named it after your roller derby team. That's fucking great.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, you didn't know that? Okay, so there's actually a roller derby team called the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh.
So it's like, what are they going to do? Because the roller derby people already own the copyright for it. I'm
going to guess that the roller derby group does not have a whole lot of money. Throwing it out there.
Though, if you already own it.
It can be bought.
Oh, that's true, too. So,
that's the point that I'm trying to make. I'm sorry. A Major League Baseball team, even in Cleveland, has far more money at their disposal than their roller derby team.
I thought you meant that the Cleveland team was just gonna basically buy the copyright from under them. Like, I don't think you're allowed to do that.
So. Not from under them. Just some type of negotiation. I didn't care about that story, so I didn't follow it. I don't. What the fuck ever. Name your team whatever the fuck you want to. Knock yourself out. I don't care.
Oof. Well, the fact that they named them after statues on a bridge would kind of crack me up too. So, but although the Detroit Tigers don't make a lick of sense either. So, whatever.
And neither. I mean, it's not like Pirates actually sailed into Pittsburgh, for God's sakes. So, I mean, the only thing that works there is the consonants. Isn't that matching non-vowels?
Yes.
Okie dokie. So, yep. I think I was going to say alliteration, but I think that's wrong. English was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I think that's alliteration, but I think it has to be longer to be alliteration, though. Like, Peter picked a
pickle.
Pack of pickled peppers.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's alliteration. Now, I can't wait until we're both wrong. And it's like, okay. Hey, I never graduated. I didn't care. So.
There's a reason I'm doing podcasts and artwork and not typing anymore.
Yeah, no shit. We got off the subject of how NXT is going to change, but I don't know. With all the interruptions, how long have we even been going?
We're at the hour mark.
Oh, that's it? All right. I guess we have a 10-15, I guess, but I don't know. I'm worried because I rather enjoy NXT, and like I said before, they do WWE better than WWE does.
Yeah, I will say this about NXT. The wife stayed up to watch the index date.
Yes, that was fun.
She was amused by the whole thing. So I will leave it, it was entertaining. It was fun. Like, it's one of the few things that, the WWE wants to be entertainment, but there are so few people that are actually entertaining. And just this whole weird set up with Johnny Gargano and Candice acting like parents to grown adults.
Who aren't their kids.
But then those two people still act like they're their kids, even though they kind of acknowledge that they're not their kids. Like, they walk this really weird fine line that is just, it's really funny. Like, it's genuinely funny. And I wish we had more kind of stuff like that in the WWE, and we do not.
But I mean, even then, you've got the, you want to call him Trevor Lee. You've got the Cameron Grimes.
Oh.
And LA Knight stuff from a few weeks ago into this week, too. I mean, they're doing backstage stuff. They're doing outside the arena. They're doing outside the locker room. Like, they're doing other vignettes. And, like, the whole, like, Gigi Dolan stuff, that was kind of interesting. And then that finishing move, holy shit.
Oh, yeah, like, it's pretty badass.
Abdominal stretch, that's kind of weird, huh? And then kaboom, like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty creative one. I mean, I do hope that people like her, or ladies like her, get some chances. Like, I did think it was kind of strange. There were a couple of things that I did find strange about NXT this week. Because her getting the win wasn't surprising. But the Saray Dakota Kai match, that one was a little bit of a head-scratcher just because, you know, they made a big deal out of Saray coming over here, but she is, like, I know that no one gets on TV every week, but she's been, like, on two, off three, at least.
Yeah.
And that doesn't do anyone any favors.
Especially, who did she... Oh, she beat Gigi Dolan. That was... Yeah, that's who she...
Yeah. Yeah, the last time we saw Gigi, she was taking the L to Saray. So it was kind of interesting on the same show that she gets a win against definitely an up-and-coming talent at best. Saray... I mean, and not that I expected Saray... Like, as soon as I saw that matchup was happening, I'm like... Dakota Kai is not losing before she wrestles Raquel Gonzalez.
Well, what I would have expected was Raquel to interfere. To come out and beat the hell out of Dakota Kai or something.
Oh.
That's what I was waiting for. I'm like, why else would we have this? And all of a sudden, boom, she loses. And it's like, you guys are doing some of the same thing Vince and company are doing. But it didn't bother me as much with her because, like you said, barely on.
Yeah, and she's another one where there's time. Like, I guess I still have no idea what her character is whatsoever. Saray.
No.
So yeah, it's not time to freak out with where she is on the card, but I did think that was an interesting spot for her to be in.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that's why they had it. Like, to try and throw you off the scent. Like, oh, so you think, think Raquel's going to interfere? Okay, here you go.
Oh, well, it was kind of funny that the second Dakota Kai side-eyes Saray after the match, Raquel hits the ring with a quickness. Oh, man. Like, she could have interfered if she was really that angry at Dakota Kai.
Yeah. And I'm telling you what, man, Raquel's going to be something special. I mean, that was a fire promo she cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, I didn't do with that, but now I'm going to rip you apart. I'm like, holy shit, man.
That's the biggest thing that they need to do with her. Like, I don't really know what her promo skills are like. That one was good, but, you know, I guess I'd be fine. We talked about it a lot with the guys not silent but deadly, but an economy of words can work out well for Raquel. Like, she doesn't need to be doing a whole lot of talking, but she also needs, you know, to have a little more personality.
She's still relatively new to, the spotlight too. So they had to get the title off of Rhea. So, Io, I guess. Yeah, she got it off of Io, didn't she?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because Io got it off of Rhea.
Yeah, and that, I guess that's another thing with NXT, that if it changes, who's going to be, what are we going to see? Like, are we getting the Io Shirai's anymore? Are, you know, is this going to be, part of their norm? Cameron Grimes is working out so great, but are we getting somebody like him again? He's not exactly a huge guy.
He's one of those guys that's bigger than you think, but he's still not, but I'm with you, he's still not huge.
Oh yeah, he's about my height, and that's not who they're looking for. And I'm 6'3 on a good day, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah, that's still tall enough to get a pass, though. I mean, it's not like he's, what's his name, who's there all alone, Spike? Spud? Spud.
Oh, yeah, Spud, yeah.
Or whatever his, Drake Maverick. Good gravy. That's how long he was in Impact/TNA. Yeah. I still remember that name and not his WWE name. But
someone like him though isn't being utilized correctly. Like,
oh,
he should be like the annoying mouthpiece or annoying sidekick or something like that. And honestly, instead of a wrestler, I mean, it sounds mean, but not because he's not a good wrestler. But come on.
Oh, yeah, he's one of those guys that he's kind of, I mean, they let go of Leon Ruff, like, he's kind of in that category, like, there's, you know, I know that there's got to be a suspension of disbelief, and we've talked about this a decent chunk, too. There's only so much disbelief that I'm willing to, you know, throw out the window. Fighting anyone, even of a half decent size, I'm like, I'm sorry, he's just gonna get squashed. Like,
now if you got really powerful something, you know, like Alexa Bliss rolling up Doudrop.
Oh, did not talk about that one with Chris. I don't think that
still
was
on that, still on that train too. Should never be allowed in the match, but whatever.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No. But anyways, I don't know. I'm just going to be very surprised. Not surprised, kind of waiting, taking a wait and see to see what changes come to NXT, because that's the first time I remember Boa wrestling. Right?
Yeah, because I think, did Xia Li, is she injured?
Remember she got crushed by Raquel in that match?
Oh, yeah.
Sense. Now, who was the lady sitting down? We got her name.
No, the group name is Tian Shun.
Yeah.
Shai Ming? I'm pulling up the review to get her name, because I don't really remember it offhand.
Yeah, well, what I'm getting at though is, was this the first week we actually got a little bit of a look at what she looked like?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so, because
Mai Ying.
That's it. Thank you. And she looks different this week. I know she had different makeup on, and the hair wasn't in her face as much either. So, I was like, oh, look at that. So, So I don't know if they're changing stuff up because Xia Li's missing or hurt, whatever. Not missing.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm... I was thinking that was just that she got a win knocked out of her kind of a situation, but I'm going to assume with the... yeah, Boa is not terribly good in the ring.
No. No, so you saw the same thing I did then.
Right. Yep. Yep, not the best. And that is the one thing that Drake Maverick should provide for you, is a good foil, is an opponent. Especially for someone new. Like, he has been around the block more than enough times to be able to help guide someone. So if you're kind of screwing up with Jake Maverick. Oh, I guess I wanted to fit in a Jake Atlas reference for you. Oh boy. But yeah. Yeah. We'll see. That was kind of interesting. You're right. Like, they've done a good job of hiding Mei Ying in the chair. And just even the fact that they've almost kept the fog machine on nonstop when she's been sitting in the throne up on the stage to give her a little extra shrouding.
Yeah. Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention, I actually really liked the New Age, like, green mist where it was just smoke.
Uh-oh.
That was cool. I was like, I'm down with that. Nice.
Yeah, it's a fun little twist on an old tradition.
Yeah, well, to me, it makes more sense if you blow poison smoke, whatever you want to go with. Okay.
Oh.
If you blow poison smoke in someone's face, there's nothing for the referee to see.
Yes.
Isn't that always the problem?
That was always a problem, because it's just like. Some people did a good job of trying to cover it up when they were executing the pinfall, but there were a lot of people that is just like, come on, ref, like, it's right there in plain sight.
Yeah, yes, and then Asuka was the first I remember, like, pin their opponent and, like, wrap their head up so that the referee couldn't see that their face was all dirty.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, yep. So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty crafty on her part.
Yep, she is a sharp cookie.
Yeah, which I'm not sure, where's she been? I don't remember her on Raw this week either.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
New idea. Just off in Never Never Land. Because that's what you should do with one of your best talents.
Well, there's probably... Probably think, well, I don't know what, we don't know what else to do with her. She won the title, she's done this, but what else is there? Okay.
Yep, cut her. Any thoughts on Odyssey Jones and or Trey Baxter?
None for Trey Baxter, because I don't remember what he even looks like. Odyssey Jones. I mean, the obvious comparison is Mark Henry, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. I mean,
no,
he
has a similar build, and I would have to say he's probably a little bit smaller, so he's a little more agile than Mark was.
Yeah, but no, I like him. I think the name's kind of cool, actually. Like for once, they got like the dumb names right.
Yeah. It was not a surprise to see him move along in the breakout tournament.
No.
The
person I feel bad for when it comes to these name changes. All right. One, last week, and I told Elise this too, Josh Briggs was the Evolve champion, and I believe he lost it before Evolve folded, but he was a big dude. He wasn't as bulky as he looks now. And he had long hair, so he looked, like, intimidated. Then he comes out in this breakout tournament looking like that. Short hair, like, he just toned everything down. He He's not like.
Oh, who is he in the tournament? He wasn't on this week, was he?
No, because he already lost.
Okay.
So I was like, that doesn't bode well because he looks plain as day now. And, like, his gimmick, like, the gimmick was funny because it was, the whole thing was chances are he doesn't like you. So that, you know, that was like his catchphrase, like the catchphrase they introduced him with, which was kind of fun. And then, yeah, if you cheered for him, he'd tell you to shut up. So he comes out, he looked soft, and he looked boring. And then the guy I really feel bad for is Jake Andre, or Andre Jake, whatever they changed. His indie name was Harlem Bravado. And does it make sense? No. Is it a better name than Jake Andre? Yes, it is. And, ugh. So I don't see him sticking around long. Tall guy, he's a lot of fun to watch. If they let these guys just be who they were, and then just go, all right, now start working in some of our style, okay? Or try, like show us you can learn that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Instead, it's just like boring. And so yeah, I felt bad for him, especially he lost 10 seconds at LA Knight. Like okay.
You know, I forgot on the positive side, really loved the Hit Row segment this week.
I missed it. So I have to go back and watch it.
Yep. So that was, since you didn't watch that. And then I will say one last thing, and then we can either talk about beer or just plain get on out of here. Ilya Dragunov, my first exposure to him since I still have not watched NXT UK. Did not watch the first Walter Dragunov match. Am looking forward to this this second one. He really impressed me. He made me think about Tyler Bate if Tyler Bate was like 3 inches taller.
You have to watch that Walter. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't. Because I don't. I hope to God Triple H and Shawn and F let those two just do their NXT UK match again. Because it'll be in front of a bigger audience, an audience it deserved. So, I mean, that match was in front of nobody. And it was insane. So...
Yeah, the highlights have looked pretty wild from what they've shown the last couple of weeks.
Dude, all they did was beat the hell out of each other. Like, chops, slaps, all that stuff. It was crazy. It was just crazy. I mean, you know, like the bleeding chest, blood red, all that, all, both of them. And it, the whole story of the match was Walter finally just beat him down. Where he was like, I can't get up anymore. But it wasn't like he just kept beating him. Like, he wasn't beating him with a hammer or something, you know?
Oh, right.
It's like he physically, Walter was exhausted. Ilya was just a little more exhausted. And it was good. And the match didn't end with a big move. It just ended because he was exhausted. And it was awesome. And it just sucks. No one saw it. Because literally, there's no audience.
Oh, so, right. Yep. Like you said, they're going to get the audience that they deserve. But that was kind of an interesting outcome within the scope of NXT. Like, I guess I didn't expect Pete Dunne to lose necessarily. But Dragunov didn't really have much of an excuse there. Like, you got a little bit of a distraction by Walter, but not much of one.
I expected Walter to interfere. and like cost Pete Dunne the match or something. Not Pete Dunne lose, but like have Dunne get disqualified because Walter's being a dick. But it's really not in his character to do that. So, you know, it was actually kind of out of character for him to just, well, I guess not so much. I'll take that back. I don't think it was out of character for him to like show up and like upstage, because to him, he is everything, you know?
Oh.
So that makes sense. But like physically interfered, no. Afterwards, sure. But I also thought it was weird, like he shows up and Imperium wasn't up. But I guess they have this week before. Yeah. Because it's next weekend, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I will be missing it because I will be at the beach. So I will have to stay off my phone for a while, which should be a problem because I'll be at the beach. So no problem. hopefully I'll be able to see it.
Well, I think that about does it. You have anything else to bitch about before we shut the door on this one?
No. I mean, like I said, well, you know, but it's been a rough, not rough, but it's been a trying day and a half. So,
fair enough.
I think I just need to blow steam off repeating the same gripes I always have. Because, you know, that's healthy. So
it always helps to get him out there.
But the thing is, I'm not wrong. Like, all right, the universe thing, sure, I'll give you. Maybe I'm overreacting, all right? But goddamn, man. Just write a better fucking show.
Yeah.
Is there so much to ask for 78 writers and one guy just dictates, nope. What?
No, it really shouldn't be that hard. Honestly, like with my with the wife's foray back into reality TV, I'm like, these people are getting it right like almost all the time. Like, I don't particularly want to watch the shows, but if that's what she's enjoying right now, I'll join in.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand why people get, like, I at least go, oh, I understand why people get sucked into this. There isn't any of that right now in the WWE. Like, unless it is, like I said, like, the whole index thing got her sucked in. But, yeah, you know, one segment out of the hours of content is not a good ratio.
I will say this, I forgot. Kudos to MVP and Bobby Lashley. They are straight killing it on Raw.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy them.
Yeah, it's just going backwards. But it's like, why didn't we get this Bobby Lashley when they first came back? Instead of like goofy shit with his sister, like, whatever. It's not worth it. It's old. So,
yes, it is.
But they're making up for it now because his stuff is killer, dude. And it kind of reminds me some of TNA Bobby, which was very good.
Oh, right.
So I just want to make sure I'll end it on a positive.
One of my travel beers when I did go on vacation down to Tennessee there. Pivot Brewing, 2 to Mango, hard cider. Yeah, pretty good. It's a cider that has a mango flavor to it.
Nice.
You know, there isn't a whole lot more to be said about it. It delivers on the name. 5.5% alcohol, nice and light. Another good summer beer that I am still working my way through beers that I purchased for that trip. So, yep, you'll be continuing to hear about those Belltime beers in the future from @DeFrango11. That is @GrannyMays. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at Spotify, iHeartRadio, and any number of locations. Do you have a beer to talk about before we officially get on out of here?
No, I was too worried about, you know, lightning hitting the house and stuff, so I just sat here, got my water, and it's like, I hope the internet works. So,
Great. No, but it did.
But I will help you off. Sure, it did. By the magic of editing. But, no, it's, was it? Red Clay's releasing another new one this weekend, Ciderita, which is a margarita cider. And it's awesome.
Oh, so, sounds delicious.
It is. All of their stuff is delicious. And you know what's not good about that? It's not low ABV. So you're drinking a juice, and all of a sudden you're like, why can't I drive? Well, because you've had 12 of them. I wish that was an exaggeration.
good night, grandkids.